You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 431 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains following a Sens win, but then a Sens loss. We've got a weekend worth of recaps for you after a 6-3 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins and a 4-0 shutout loss to the Calgary Flames. Hey, the Sens went 77 straight without being shut out and then failed to score in two of their last three games. Of course, COVID protocol and injuries have played a part in that. There's currently 10 members of the Ottawa Senators on that list, including three of their four right wingers. We'll get into all of the information that we have in practice canceled today. This is the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day. Today is Monday, November 15th, and Pilsy, two games for the Ottawa Senators this weekend, but with all the transactions, there's certainly tons to keep up with in Sens land.
Oh, absolutely, Ross, and like we always talk about, it's not always good news with the Ottawa Senators, but if you're a daily podcaster for the Sens like us, there's always something to get into, and there is a lot to get into with that weekend, because finally, the Sens won a game, and scoring six goals is something we haven't seen the Senators do. But then to go back into your next game and get shut out, that's kind of the way the Sens season has been going. But there is a win to talk about here, so I'm glad we can get into that at least.
100%. We've got both full game recaps. We'll check in on Jake Sanderson. Spoiler alert, he's unbelievable. Tyler Cleven has a three-game point streak. The Nodak Sens swept their weekend. But Pilsy, we got to start with this whole COVID protocol. Now, I don't understand how a player can go in and out, in and out. It seems like around the National Hockey League, it's been pretty consistent that guys, they go in, they spend their 10 days, then they come back out. But with Ottawa now, with two separate players, Drake Batherson missed the morning skate on Saturday. He ends up playing, gets 4 points, and then he's back on the list and he can't play. Same thing for Nikita Zaitsev, on and off. How does this make any sense?
I don't really know either, Ross. I feel like I need a graphic to be put up. Brandon Piller, not a doctor, confirmed, not a doctor, just so everyone knows. But the one thing that I can guess, at least then, is the Ottawa Senators are taking two tests daily. One is, from my understanding, one is a rapid test, and then another one is a test that takes a little while to develop. So maybe the rapid test shows one result, and then the test that takes some time to develop is showing a different one. Maybe there are two different styles of tests finding different results. Maybe a player is contracting COVID in between those two tests. Again, I don't really know. It's confusing for me as well. And it seems like no one really has a handle on this, as they showed the graphic on the broadcast for the protocol list. And since what, November 4th up until today, it seems like there's been a new player each day on the COVID list for the Sens. So clearly this is something that they don't quite have a handle on. But like I said before, obviously they're doing the best they can and they think that there isn't a need to cancel games yet. They're basically living like they're in the bubble. From Ian Mendez's article in The Athletic, he's saying that guys are social distancing in the hotel. They're wearing masks in common spaces. The locker rooms, apparently, you're not side by side getting dressed beside anyone. So they're doing what they can from what we can see here. But it's not enough, because when you have 10 players in COVID protocol, and thank goodness, Ross, that the Belleville Senators don't play till Saturday, because half their team is gone and we're running out of guys that have two-way contracts that are even eligible to be called up. Like, the Sens are having to make these contracts happen just in case here. That's how crazy it's getting.
Yeah, Zach Leslie, shout out Ottawa boy, gets a two-way contract. He was on a one-way AHL deal. beforehand. All right, if you're watching on YouTube, just pulled it up right now, the Senators COVID protocol list. And that includes, as well, associate coach Jack Capuano. Now, it all started, Austin Watson. Not saying he's the reason why it started, but he was the first to test positive. November 4th. So we're going on over a week and a half now. So you got to think that he's on the verge of being off protocol list. We don't know, because the Sens haven't practiced in a week. They haven't practiced since last Friday. So Austin Watson, Dylan Gambrell at that point, and you know, Nick Holden, Victor Mete, Josh Brown, those guys were the first ones on the list. And you're like, okay, that's tough. But if we're just looking at the quality of competition that this Senators team can ice, they're more level replacement level players, to be fair. But then now you're looking at a situation where Drake Batherson, Connor Brown, Alex Formanton, and say what you want about him, but Nikita Zaitsev plays 18 minutes a game for this team, and the starting goalie, Matt Murray. Yeah. Like, at some point, the league has to do something here and step in, not only for the safety of the rest of the players. Like, the fact that Alex Formanton got in a scrap the night before and then the next morning test positive and can't be in the lineup, that's one thing. But then you're looking at the integrity of the competition that you're putting out on the ice. And in a long season, 82 games, like, I get it with LA, especially, and when there's cross-country matchups, it's not easy to reschedule. But you're looking at a situation where this week the Senators are playing two Eastern Conference teams, I believe, or at least it's Nashville, one of the games. So not Eastern, but it's not a crazy commute to get back and forth. New Jersey's the other one, next game coming up on Tuesday. Like, what do you think the chances are, if any, that these games get pushed back?
It seems like the chances are slim, Ross, because I think if games were going to be pushed back, we would have seen it already, or at least we'd see kind of some precautions that we're looking into pushing these games back or postponing them or whatever you want to call it. So I don't think it's going to happen here. And you make a good point about the competition level, right? Like, any team where you've got 10 of your, 20, 21, 22 guys on the COVID protocol list, like, your competition is going to be altered for sure. But I think the main concern here is, if we're stepping away from the sport for a second, it's, and the Senators are fortunate, there's not a lot of people in this scenario, but it's the players with young children, right? Like, there's Forsberg, Zaitsev, although I'm not sure where Zaitsev's kids are. I think they're in Russia.
Austin Watson.
Matt Murray, Austin Watson. There are a couple guys here that have kids, and I think Holden, too, actually has kids as well. So there's a handful of guys that have young children at home, and they asked Thomas Chabot, like, what's the update on the guys in COVID protocol? Sorry. And he said, look, it's obviously a serious disease, but everyone's double vaxxed. Everyone's healthy. There's medical attention on them. We're doing what we can. No one's had like major serious injuries or symptoms that really are causing their day-to-day life to suffer. Like, they're athletes, they're healthy. It's unfortunate, but I think everyone's going to be okay, right? But where it's a tricky situation here is those young kids who aren't able to get vaccinated and maybe aren't as healthy and stable, obviously, as these pro athletes. So that's where you're concerned, and you're like, well, if all these players are getting it and they're passing it between them, how safe are the kids at home, right? So I think that's where maybe the NHL needs to start thinking, like, okay, like, put the sport aside, and we need to start looking out for the well-being of our employees' families here.
Yeah, 100%. We hope that everyone is healthy and doing well, but in the same token, man, like, this is a tough situation for DJ Smith to put out an NHL lineup. We'll get to who was on the ice against the Calgary Flames last night, and it's a situation that's just tough all around. I think DJ had a little bit of frustration in his post-game press conference, saying they overwhelmed us with their four lines and their six defensemen. Kind of a shot that I don't have that right now. Yeah. But without further ado, we should get into the games itself, because for the first time in long time, the Ottawa Senators won a game, and they won it convincingly. Yeah, it got a little tricky at the end, but a 6-3 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's get into that after a word from our friends at Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They come in 16 amazing flavors as well. I always recommend getting the mixed box of Built Bars. 8 are nut-free flavors, 8 have nuts, but all Built Bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious guy or girl as well. because you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. That's a nutritional grand slam. So go check them out for yourself. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, and because you're a listener of Locked On Senators, you're entitled to a 15% welcome bonus. I should say, you get welcomed into the Built Bar family. You get 15% off. So use our promo code LOCKED15 for that 15% off your next order. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. All right, Pilsy. After struggling through that, and speaking of struggling, the Senators on this stretch had not won in six straight games. It had been a long time since they felt a win under their sails. But talk about a pick-me-up. This game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, it started fast and it started often once we got into the second period. There was a bit of worry first, but once Zach Sanford opened the scoring, it was the floodgates, baby, floodgates.
Ross, I think we needed to take a screenshot of that. The Senators, there was a scoreboard in the Senators game that was 5-0 for your Ottawa Senators at one point. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I swear to God, Ross. And that was a good feeling, although when they scored those two quick ones, that five goals didn't seem so big. I don't know about you, Ross, but, and I think DJ Smith felt the same way, because that's when he called his timeout and was like, okay, guys, we had a 5-0 lead here. We are not about to let this slip away from us. I will do anything in my power to not let this happen, and that's good. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Ross, it was actually pretty lucky that the Sens were able to get that lead, because Pittsburgh came out of the gate flying, and they hit two posts, and that Jeff Carter post, I'm still not convinced that that didn't go in the net. You know the
it
one I'm talking about?
So obvious. Yeah, it was almost like Tierney's in the game against the Kings.
Yeah, like that, even Carter, like a savvy NHL vet, was like, hey, like, that was a goal. Like, what are we doing here? So that was a close one. And Gus, man, it's not often you talk about a high-scoring game like this, and the goalie was such a big part of it, but Gus had to make so many big saves. I mean, Jason Zucker is going to have nightmares of Filip Gustavsson, and that's a nice revenge game if you're Philly franchise, if you ask me. So that's... Gustavsson definitely was a huge part of why the Senators were able to do this. And another thing too is a lot of those goals, if you look at them, the faceoff wins were key there. Winning those faceoffs were important because they scored a couple goals off them. And the Sens' ability to have guys in front of the net and capitalize on rebounds and loose pucks. I feel like quite often the Senators have opportunities to have those chances, but they don't capitalize on them. Guys like Parker Kelly, Tim Stützle finally gets that monkey off his back, and he must have thrown that monkey 400 feet in the air. He was fired up after that, and so were the boys, and that was a big one for him. Sanford, similar situation with his goal, right? It was a rebound, kind of a bang-bang play. The puck's bouncing around, and he puts it in the net. Like, these are the kinds of things where when you get those opportunities, you can't put the puck on the ice and let the goalie make a pad save. You can't miss the net. You can't hit the post. You need to bury them. And that's what they were doing on this game up against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And Michael Delzato as well. Talking about guys getting their first goal of the year. So Zach Sanford gets his second, obviously assisted by Jacob Bernard-Docker in that second period. Not only JBD, but Lassie Thompson as well, both getting their first NHL points. We'll discuss Lassie as well. What a debut for him in his first few games at the National Hockey League level. But how can we not sit on this Timmy goal a little bit better? Because he said it after the game too, not his best performance. He wasn't really creating that much, and it had to be a cheeky goal, right? Like, the pass was trying to go through the seam. It hits a body and goes right back. Goalie was pulled out the other way, and he puts it home. Like, what a sigh of relief. I thought the floodgates would open. Of course, didn't happen against Calgary, but must be nice for him to at least get that sense, because you could see it on the bench. This guy was absolutely frustrated over this past week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's nice that he scores at home. Like, oh, my God, about time. That's the first Tim Stützle goal that Sens fans have seen at the CTC. Ever. His other goal, there was no fans there, right? So that's a wild thing to think about. So it's really good that he got that monkey off his back. I think that's going to help him, you know, grip the stick a little looser, not be so tight and not feel like he's got to score every single opportunity he gets. So, and that was, it's funny you say that too, because yeah, he only played 12 minutes that game. Like he was not feeling it that night, and DJ Smith was making it clear he didn't like his game. So the fact that he scored is a nice boost, but also you expect the floodgates to open, Ross, but when their team is in the situation that they're in, I think everyone's going to suffer here. So maybe we got to postpone. Let's take a rain check on that flood.
Speaking of floods, it was a 15-game goal drought for Tim Stützle going back to last year. The last time Timmy scored was his hat trick.
His hat trick,
the Winnipeg Jets that included an empty net goal. So his last goal was an empty netter 15 games ago. And you want to hear something even more wild than that. It had been 34 home games since his last goal. 34 home games.
That's almost a whole season of home games. That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Timmy, however, still has not reached 82 NHL games. We'll have an update of what his stats are once he gets to that mark. But Pilsy, that was unbelievable to see, as was the second four-point game for Drake Batherson this season. Of course, the first one came in a loss against the Washington Capitals. He had three goals and an assist in that one. But on Saturday, it was 2-2. And he's so smart on the ice. Yeah. He is just seeing plays 2-3 steps before they happen. Walk us through how he was able to put up such gaudy numbers.
Yeah, that goal that he scored with Ennis, that play, like, that's some great chemistry. Those two, I think, would play well together if needed. And for him to make that D-cross, I think most other players would just shoot that puck right away. You don't have a lot of time and space. There's a defenseman coming in from the other angle. But Drake knows that Casey DeSmith is expecting that shot. So he holds onto it, slides it over, and then slides it right under. You could tell Casey DeSmith was baffled by that. He like flips over and he looks like a I was going to say beached whale, but fish out of water is definitely a little bit of a nicer term there.
It's kind of the same thing, no?
It kind of it. Well, no, is a whale is not a
whale's
fish.
A mammal.
A whale's a mammal. So a little nature work here, but fish out of water, I think, is a much nicer thing to hear about yourself rather than a beached whale. But that was a great goal by Drake Batherson. And then, of course, he gets the empty netter. That was a great play as well. And yeah, it's awesome to see Lassie Thompson and JBD get their first points. Like, that's a nice little pat on the back, something to keep you motivated as they go through, because they're going to be playing up here probably the rest of the week, Ross. So it's nice to have that in your back pocket thinking, all right, I got a point here. I can hang with these guys.
So at that point, and Philip Gustafson, huge reason why they get that victory on Saturday night as well. It was a situation where the Senators were outshot again. And that seems to be a growing trend throughout this early part of the 2021-22 season, but I thought he was fantastic in goal. He had 31 shots against him, and Pittsburgh outshot Ottawa 12-4 in that third period. Even when they made a bit of a comeback there, it got to 5-3 from 5-0. I still didn't really feel like many of those goals, if any, were on Gustafson. I thought that he played really well throughout that game, but back-to-back situation, they go with Forsberg, and I guess we got to get in to that one as well. Last point on Drake Batherson. Thank God that he got those two negative COVID tests throughout the day, because he had a box with 30 friends and family, including his mom, who he says a teacher. So, of course, teachers get time off, but it's all in the summer when the NHL isn't playing. Yeah. So it was a great opportunity for his mom to get in and see him play. And oh, did she ever. And she probably had some FOMO when Drake's dad was there for the four-point, the hat trick earlier in the year. So good on Drake putting on a show for his friends and family and getting Ottawa off their six-game losing streak. However, one streak ends, another one, well, I'm not going to say it's starting
yet, don't say that.
It's just one loss. The Senators falling 4-0 to the Calgary Flames. Ottawa is now 4-10-1 on the season. We'll break that down. We'll get in to the Nodak Sens, who I'm going to see live next weekend. Can't wait for that. But Pilsy, if you can't get to a game, what's a great way to make sure that you don't miss any of the action?
Well, yeah, it's tough to get to the games these days, especially with the winter weather getting here. Those long drives to make it to the arena, maybe not as enticing when you got Winnipeg weather going for you. But Ross isn't worried about the weather, but if you are worried about the weather or you're a little too far away to drive to Nodak to watch college hockey, then let me tell you all about DirecTV Stream. Hey, DirecTV Stream is great even if you're not a sports fan. Why? Because they got it all. Let me tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love together without the hassle. A great way to finally get your TV together. Get all your on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one nice, easy place. How good does that sound? Especially if you got kids and they're constantly logging in and out of stuff, if you got parental guidance on some stuff and other logins and passwords and settings that you got to deal with. No, don't do any of that. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. No more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is, there's no annual contract. I feel like most of the time when you have these opportunities, they try to rope you in with a contract and you're stuck for life. Nope, not DirecTV Stream. So guys, get rid of the clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Contents vary by package. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream at DirecTV.com.
All right, Pilsy. Do you remember on October 31st, we put out a tweet at Sen Central. You can follow us there. And thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen of the day when you're looking for a dose of Senators content. That being said, we put out a tweet on October 31st, calm before the storm. The Senators play 15 games in the first 27 days of November. We'll have an update. That storm sucks.
It's cold, eh? It's winter's here.
It's cold. It's dreary. My socks are wet. It's just absolutely horrible situation right now. The lone win coming against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The losses coming against Chicago, Minnesota, Vegas, Tampa, Boston, Los Angeles, and 4-0 against Matthew Tkachuk and the Calgary Flames. Tkachuk, one of four goal scorers for Calgary. What was your overall impression after last night's game?
Well, my overall impression was, why couldn't they have won the Sunday game so we can have that to come into the podcast with? But that's just the way things go. And yeah, you know what? I would have obviously loved for the Sens not to get shut out there, but there is not much you can do here. Like a back-to-back game, 10 players on the COVID protocol, your top scorer gets 4 points, and then next game he's out. You're now going to your, you could call Anton Forsberg the third string goalie at this point, no?
Well, we talked about it before the season. It was going to be, hopefully, and it ended up being, people were old takes exposing us after Forsberg was unbelievable, and he was in the home opener. Yeah. But we said we want it to be a situation where Forsberg is almost like your COVID insurance policy, which you need in this situation, especially with Matt Murray. And injuries, we know, with Murray are a thing that happens. So with Gustafsson, I would call him the second string. It's just kind of a quasi-second string. He's down, he's up, just without waivers requiring. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, Philly's the second string for sure.
Yeah, so you're turning to your third string guy. You've got guys who this is their first taste of NHL experience in Thompson, JBD, and Sokolov. Hetherington hasn't played NHL in years. So, like, so much. That's half your decor there that are not NHL regulars. You're on a back-to-back night. You've just we buried a lead here a little bit, Ross. Mm. You just lost your second-line center in Shane Pinto only 5 minutes of play.
I've been trying to bury that in my brain.
And this is, again, I don't know the situation. Obviously, they must have thought Pinto was healthy. But remember I was saying, why not wait another game, give him a little more time, and put him in the second game of this back-to-back? And that's, you know when injury is bad? When it's a non-contact injury like that. Like, he literally just goes to take a draw, and then his shoulder, you can see his shoulder fall out of place.
Not
like,
good.
And then he's slumping, and he has to go off the ice right away. Like, That's probably the worst part of this whole weekend, really. If we're, I hate to bring the negativity back in here, but like Pinto's, if I'm going to make a guess, again, hashtag not a doctor, but if I'm going to make a guess, he's probably going to need surgery and he's probably done for the year. And that is a massive, massive loss to this team. And we only got a couple minutes of seeing Pinto back, and
his presence still willed them to victory. They're now 12-3-1 lifetime.
Yes, yes, of course.
And then they lose without him.
Man, let's just get Pinto out there fully, like a full body cast on. Just get him on the ice for a couple seconds. Get him off just so his aura is with the team.
Just put him on the game sheet.
That's yeah, all just get him on the roster. Yeah, you need something there. But yes, so that's a terrible loss. I kind of forgot the question you were asking me now. But yeah, it's
tough. What's your main takeaways from the game?
Yeah, my main takeaway is what I'm saying is they were set up to fail. And through no one's fault, right? It's just the way things are going. And this team's cursed, as we know. So there's not much they could have done there. I wasn't expecting a win up against the Calgary Flames. It was great they got one up against the Penguins. But I think maybe other than the Arizona Coyotes, any opponent you would have thrown at them for the second half of this back-to-back, they probably would have struggled and lost to.
Yes, and I'm not going to blame Forsberg, but especially that fourth goal, the Nikita Zadorov one. Like, I know Delzato treats him like he's an all-star. He gives him so much space coming through the slot, but that's one an NHL goalie has to have.
I think when a guy who's known for being an enforcer skates end to end and scores a goal, and then his reaction isn't a celebration, it's like, I wasn't expecting that. All right. Yep. Then that's when you know that this is out of hand. And yeah, that's one Forsberg you got to have. Even I know the Rasmus Anderson shot was tipped by Elias Lindholm, but I thought it was a minor tip and that was a weak shot that you need to get your body in front of. You can't rely on your glove because he had all day to read that shot, to track that shot, and to get into position. So I didn't like that goal very much either, Ross. And then the Tkachuk goal, no chance there. And I'm forgetting what the other goal is that we haven't gone into.
Oh, Mangiapane, just right up on the doorstep.
Yeah, and that was another deflection, I think. So yeah. That one I'm not too upset about there. But yeah, Forsberg certainly hasn't played very well at all since the home opener. But also, you got to ask the question too, how healthy is he, right? Like he had the illness. Like I bet he's still dealing with some sort of flu-like symptom, non-COVID symptoms is what they're calling it, I guess. So I bet he's still probably dealing with that out of necessity. Like they don't have much options here. They got to put whoever isn't in COVID protocol in game here. So that's tough for Forsberg. Hopefully he can bounce back here, but yeah, that's a tough one, especially I feel bad for Brady. That sucks when he put up a 4-0 loss up against your big brother. But one positive with that we do need to get into, how about that scrap? Oh, my God. Goody and Sanford. Like, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Sanford lately. Like, I think that's definitely a case of where he was put on the fourth line because he hadn't got a spark yet. And then he gets a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of an opportunity, and he really kind of blossoms. Like, don't forget, this is the same Zach Sanford that him and Robert Bertuzzo fought each other as teammates in practice. And that was what spirited the Blues to get from last place all the way to the goddamn Stanley Cup and winning it. So this guy's got some passion and he's got some spark in him. And to go head to head up against Goody like that, those guys were throwing haymakers. Like if any of those punches land, which a few of them did, you're feeling that in the morning. So that was a good fight and a good spirited tilt by Sanford there.
Yeah, shout out Brady for, I think, giving Sanford a fair advantage as Brady kind of grabbed Goody in the scrum and Sanford started unloading bombs. It was absolutely brilliant, both sides. As Goody's probably a bit out of Sanford's weight class if they square up toe-to-toe. I just pulled up on YouTube here our Senators lineup from last night. I think fans really need to know who was there and with all the players who weren't with injuries and COVID situation. So it was Tkachuk, Norris, and Stützle at right wing. Stützle, to me, was the only Sen Central standout from last night's game. I thought he was creating. He put two on a tee for Norris, who we're not going to say he's struggling just yet, but he's been struggling recently. And then the second line, Nick Paul at center between Sanford and Logan Shaw. That's right, top six forward, Logan Shaw, who's actually played well the last couple weeks, but I don't know if I want to see him in a top six of an NHL lineup. Now, Tierney, Ennis, and Sokolov was another line. Yeah, Igor had four shots on goal. I like that. Two offensive zone penalties, however, didn't love that on the other side of it. Andrew Agazino makes his season debut at the National Hockey League level. He was a late replacement for this Batherson. Game.
Yep.
When Batherson was announced only half an hour before the game that he couldn't play. And he was in between Kelly and Sabrin. And Sabrin got the "Who are you?" treatment again from Nikita Zadorov. I saw that right in front of the net. He's like, "Who are you? Like, why are you trying to fight me? Leave me alone." On defense, and this is where I want to end today's show, is this D-core. Because without half the bodies, right? No Mete, no Brown, no Zaitsev. And you look around, you're like...
No Holden.
Yeah, that's four guys who are in the starting lineup. The only two that were in the opening night lineup were Shabbat and Zub. That's it.
And of course, Branstrom breaks his hand too. Let's not forget that.
God. Yeah, I don't think we've had a show since then. And I looked it up, by the way. We haven't covered a Senators win the next day since I was in Arizona. Since we had Pinto on the show.
Yeah.
It was the day before that, the Monday, because their last two wins were a Friday in Dallas and then the Saturday. So that's probably our fault that they've been losing. But the Senators D-core, Shabbat and Lassie Thompson, Delzato and Zub, and then Hetherington and JBD. I think that Delzato, you know, he is what he is, but I thought that him playing with Zub was probably the best hockey that he's played, and I could say the same. I thought that Thompson complimented Shabbat brilliantly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, although looking at this D-core, Ross, and I still think Delzato is the worst one of them, or at least I thought he, like, looking back at the goal highlights, Delzato's on the ice for most, if not all, the goals. A bunch of them, you could say, I don't want to say were his fault, but definitely he did not make the right decision and he was not in the right time at the right place. So I'm even looking at a point where I wouldn't mind them calling someone up to replace Delzato here. I don't know who.
Well, Zach Leslie. He's the only guy who's left under contract.
Get him up here.
Where's Hubert Labrie?
I can't keep track of all the transactions, but is Gannett now with the Senators or back in Belleville?
No, he's back. Sorry. So they do have him as an available option as well.
So that would be a guy you could put in there, because these guys that are coming up are, they're not playing amazing, but they're not playing worse than the regulars is one of the, even Hetherington is a guy like, you know, you don't really think about him when they signed him in the offseason, but he's actually played all right, in my opinion. Like, I haven't seen any glaring mistakes from him. And then Lassie Thompson, holy crap, have a NHL debut, kid. Like, he plays in the game against the Kings. Didn't he play 22 minutes? And I thought he played well there. Sure, up against Calgary, he was on the ice for every single goal scored. But back-to-back, a guy that's not used to playing in the NHL and is playing top-line minutes up against the best lines, like, I would still say he played pretty decently here. So, like, it's hilarious that the Sens are having these injury/COVID problems on the back end, but the guys coming up that were not supposed to be here quite yet are filling in nicely.
They certainly are. And yeah, Lassie's -3 certainly stands out when you look
at it. And then the other one was on the power play. I think he was killing the penalty too.
He was. And there were some defensive miscues a little bit. But again, that's his fourth game in 5 days. Yeah. Like, he's been playing.
And he just got back from injury too. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So that they're asking a lot out of Lassie right now. And I thought he's played brilliantly overall as a body of work for a 20-year-old in the National Hockey League level. Now, that being said, I thought JBD was very steady defensively. I'm extremely curious what DJ Smith is going to do when these other guys are available, because does Josh Brown deserve to get back in this lineup? No, he certainly hasn't done anything that would lead me to believe that. And they got to ice the team that gives them the best chance to win, especially through this stretch here where Ottawa is playing so many games in such a short period of time. And they've got one win in their last 7 games again, right? So, or 8 games rather, because they're a 6-game losing streak. They win one, they lose one. And it's just been so few and far between that these Senators have been able to put out a good product. So if you're a coach right now, these are free tryouts for you, for these younger players. And next week, man, you got 3 more games. You got Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then you go on a road trip out west. And good luck with this one at Colorado, at San Jose, and then a back-to-back at Anaheim, at Los Angeles.
The Ducks they're flying right now. Troy Terry looks like a superstar.
He sure does. So that 3-day break following that road trip is going to be so necessary to reset the clock and hopefully get everybody except Pinto and Colin White back healthy and going. But speaking of defense, Pilsy, the Nodak Sens. Let's end on a high note. Go in to the day with a little positivity. Jake Sanderson might be... Sorry, pardon. Jake Sanderson is
there. We go.
The best player in college hockey.
He's got to be. And I mean, obviously you can tell our Nodak sends bias, but
it's not though. This
guys are coming out of the woodwork on Twitter, being doubling down on how wrong they were about Jake Sanderson. You love to see
unbelievable.
That. Mr. Medals, as we like to call him.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah. When he's putting up points like this and just, this is, and for people that were like, oh, he should have gone pro last season. I think now you're starting to realize what a good decision it is for him to go back to college, because you don't want Jake Sanderson playing in this type of scenario. You're not,
hell
as
no.
as we say, you're not setting him up for success if he was with the Ottawa Senators right now. And other guys like Lassie and JBD, they deserve to have that opportunity before him anyways, at least to get a chance, right? So he goes back to college. He's going to be developing. He's building his confidence. He's building his skills. He's going to be playing in meaningful games this year. And he's putting up multi-point nights, and he's scoring goals, and he's getting assists, and he's making those classic transitional plays that maybe don't turn into anything, but if you watch them separately, they just show his brilliance and his decision-making and his skating skill and puck handling skill. He's doing everything we want him to do. So this is all positives. And then just quickly, I want to talk about Cleven too. That reverse hit that he had on Savage. That's savage. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Oh my God. Like any other scenario, that should have been like Cleven should have been on his ass there. Like he was looking down at the puck. He didn't have his head up. He's up against the boards trying to make a play. And Savage, he was maybe one step away from that being a charging call even. Like he took at least four strides his way to head over to hit Cleven. And Cleven just, he feels something hit him and he just, it's like a bug just like tapped. He just brushes him off and Savage goes flying into the boards. I must have watched that 10 times. That was
easily
so satisfying to see.
Easily. And shout out Chris Brandt. She's all over the Nodak Sens situation. She put out that video on Twitter. You can go at Sens Central. We gave that a retweet. But have you ever tried running into a train, Pilsy? Doesn't always go well.
I usually refrain from running into trains, yeah.
Well, somebody should tell that to Savage there on Miami of Ohio. But I want to get in a little bit further to Jake Sanderson and just what he's doing. It's not like these are just point shots. He's like circling the offensive zone 17 times, finding a passing lane, getting a give and go, and then putting one upstairs. He's already matched his point total from last year, Pils. He's already matched it.
And on a weaker team, which is crazy.
Yeah, in half the games. He played 22 games last year, 2 goals in 22 games. This year, he has 6 goals in 11 games, 15 points in both of them. And you said it best there, in a much weaker team. Last year's plus 20. I mean, this year he's plus 9, so he's on pace, right? Pretty much to be right where he was last year. I am so ecstatic to watch him live next weekend. And just, I'm going to have the complete ISO cam on him every time he's out on the ice, because it's special watching him right now. And I can't wait as well for World Juniors coming around the corner. Got to be the captain of Team USA. He just commands the ice so well. And he's breaking up defensive plays, his gap. He still has all the elite tools he had at draft day, but he's just added to his bag of tricks that now apparently he's just going to be the best offensive defenseman in the league. He's got one more point than Matty Beniers, who's the second overall pick in the draft.
And on a powerhouse team.
Exactly. The only defenseman who has more, the only player who has more points than him in the NCAA is Owen Power. And look who he's benefiting from giving the puck to. Kent Johnson, Matty Beniers, Dominic.
That's a first overall pick.
The list goes on and on. And you're looking at a situation where people say the Sens reached on Jake Sanderson?
Reached?
What? In this economy, you need puck-moving defensemen, and it's never been more clear than when the Senators are icing this decor they have this year. So you look at the future, it's bright on defense. And that's even without saying that Tyler Cleven will continue to grow his offensive game, that he's on a 3-game point streak. He's got 2 goals and an assist in his last 3 games. So you look at a future where 2-3 years down the road, you've got Sanderson, Shabbat on the left side. And yeah, I put Sanderson's name first for a reason. And then on the right side, Lassie Thompson, JBD. You're starting to see the outline here, and hopefully Artem Zub re-signs. That would be huge to have him in the top four. And you're starting to be able to play around here with a pretty solid decor, hey?
Definitely. And once this decor comes together, I have confidence in a healthy forward core for this group too, right? Like, I think they have all the pieces in place. Batherson, I've always kind of viewed as a second-line winger, but man, he is looking much more elite than that, and he's only breaking the surface. Like, this is year one of his contract. He's got five more years under $5 million left.
Ridiculous.
So, like, that contract's going to be amazing, and it's going to allow them to have some space to sign other up-and-coming players like Sanderson.
Yep.
So, really, like, when this team comes together, I don't think... I'm not even going to talk about this year. It's not going to be this year. I don't think it's quite going to be next year, but the year after that, I think there's no reason with Sanderson having a full NHL season under his belt and wherever Lassie and JBD are going to be at, there's no reason to, if you piece together and start putting this roster on paper, why they won't have a competitive team.
100%. Okay, Pilsy, finally, before we go tonight, the Hockey Hall of Fame will have its first induction class in about a year and a half. They didn't have one because of COVID. And the Ottawa Senators will have their first drafted player inducted into the Hall of Fame. No, it's not who it should be, which is Daniel Alfredson, who should have gotten in last year. It would have been really nice if he got in with Marian Hossa, who's going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Alongside him, Jerome Iginla, Kevin Lowe, and Ottawa native Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson going in as a player, not as GM of the San Jose Sharks, the guy who gave up Tim Stützle. That's how I'm going to remember him. And Milan McCulloch. Shout out Milo. Always love him. But that being said, this class, it's solid. Don't get me wrong. But to put Kevin Lowe in the Hockey Hall of Fame before Daniel Alfredson is a complete gong show. And it just shows that it's an old boys club that has their little group and they all want to just prop each other up, and good on them. But you look at the numbers, you look at the career, there is no way. And if the Sedins get in, if either of the Sedins get in before Daniel,
I mean, Alfredson, they're going in together. Let's not well, kid ourselves.
That's ridiculous because neither of them had half the career that Daniel Alfredson had.
That's maybe a little aggressive to say neither of them had half the career as Daniel Alfredson, but I get your sentiment. I'm not about to pretend that I was around and watching all of Kevin Lowe's games when he was in the NHL, so I can't really comment on how I feel about him. But I think that was one of those moves where they're trying to shine some light on defensive players, right? Like, where it's not all about points. So maybe I see they're trying to give credit to hardworking defensive defensemen. So maybe I see that there. But I mean, if Alfredson goes another 2-3 years without making it into the hall, like, we need to riot. Like, there's clearly something wrong going on here, because apart from obviously no Stanley Cup, but apart from that, what he did for Ottawa and this franchise and the points he was able to put up, his playoff performances, all these factors coming in here is absolutely insane. And he deserves and has earned a right in the Hockey Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
No question. Don't even get me started on Brian Murray, who should be in there as a builder as well. So when Alfie made his NHL debut, and by the way, won the Calder Trophy in his first season, 26 goals, 61 points, Ottawa as a franchise had never made the playoffs. Well, get this, Pilsy. In his tenure with the Ottawa Senators, he missed the playoffs twice. 2009 and 2011. That's it. Every other year he made the playoffs in his career. So that just tells you what he brought legitimacy to this franchise. He has a gold medal at the Olympics. He led Team Sweden in scoring during that Olympics. And he's got a silver medal too in Sochi. And if it weren't for the best Team Canada I think we've ever seen, who allowed, 7 goals in 6 games that tournament? It was absolutely absurd. Yeah. Then Alfie would have 2 gold medals. But, of course, shout out Team Canada. We didn't allow that to happen. But it's the day has to come that both Brian Murray and Daniel Alfredson are in the Hall of Fame. And we will be pushing that until the day that this show is no longer allowed on air. But speaking of which, we got lots to get to tomorrow. Great interviews coming up later this week. You can follow
which we're not going to tease yet.
Nope.
But there are some good ones. Let's say that. There's some good ones. And we're recording
all 3 of them on Wednesday. It's going to be a wacky, wild Wednesday. And once they're all recorded, we'll be able to tease those for you.
There you go.
Going on later to the week. So stay tuned for all that. But for today, we say goodbye. Again, you can follow the show on Twitter, at Sen Central, on Instagram, LockedOn.Senators. And please, right after this, we got a little screen. You can click subscribe. It does go a long way on YouTube. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.